Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Exist Daily. So if you're wondering what this podcast is about, it's a very good thing to wonder, because I myself am wondering the very same thing, because I'm not 100% sure what this is going to be about. Basically, I want to share with you just some of the books that I have been reading and some of the information or just philosophies that I've come across that I think is worth sharing. And a lot of the books that I'm reading is quite difficult to find, and it's also translated in a way that might not be easy for a lot of people to understand. So I'm going to be interpreting some of the stuff that's there. And yeah, hopefully it'll just start taking shape as I make a few more of these episodes. And if you have any suggestions or feedback, just drop me a message through Anchor. In the first episode, I want to go over the first chapter of the book Tattva Samhita, written by Sri Atmananda Krishnamenon. Now, this book itself is pretty rare to get hold of, but if you can, I would highly recommend that you buy it. The book has a lot to give, although the biggest challenge with this book is that the English is quite old school, so it's really difficult to kind of break down some of the parts, or at least for you to kind of get into a rhythm with the reading, because for me, I find the English quite a little bit too structured, and it could do with being more organic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the first chapter and I'm going to go through it, but I'm going to try and interpret some of the parts and make the English a bit more easy to read. Like I said earlier, this is my first episode, so I don't know for sure if this is going to work. But I hope it does, and I hope you find benefit in listening to this. Where we stand. Unless you know where you stand, it's never possible for you to have the correct understanding of things. When you say that I'm standing straight, or that I'm lean, or I'm walking, or I'm sitting, or I'm dancing, or I'm moving, you're identifying yourself with your physical body. When you say that I see something, or I hear this, or I'm touching this, you're identifying yourself with your senses. When you say I think, or that I'm feeling this, you're identifying yourself with your mind. And this is why you can't really understand who you are. It's necessary to know what you are and where you stand so that you can have the correct understanding of things, so that you can see the things in the right perspective. And to do this, it's not enough just to examine the waking state or the state of being when we are awake, because you can have experiences beyond just the waking state. For instance, you can be having an experience in the dream state as well as in the deep sleep state. So for us to start, we need to examine these three states: the wakeful state, the dreaming state, and the deep sleep state. You find that the I principle, that sense of I, of yourself, whatever it is persistently present in all three states without a break. So the sense of I, that sense of being, is present across all three states without a break. Your body and your senses and your mind are present in one state, but they're not present in another state. So this I principle is kind of falsely joined on to the body and your senses and your mind, but it's really independent of them. as you see in the deep sleep state where it exists in all its glory all by itself. Therefore, you can see that it's pure consciousness and happiness. When you come out of the deep sleep state, so when you wake up in the morning, you say that you were happy or that you slept well. How is it possible for you to say that unless you are conscious of your happiness or you experienced that happiness in that deep sleep state? Because of this, it follows that consciousness and happiness were in that deep sleep state. And that must be your real nature. Now, why do I say that this is your real nature? Because when it stands away from the body and the senses and the mind, the sense of being that we call I is present. And it's only that which is present. And it's there that we seem to find consciousness and happiness. This is why I say that the sense of being or this I principle is itself consciousness and happiness. The consciousness never separates itself from the sense of I or that sense of being, even in the three states which we have been examining. Consciousness is present in that sense of being in the deep sleep state, as I've shown you. It's present with that sense of being, with that I principle in the dream state. It's present in the waking state, but only that the I principle is joined on to something else in the dream state and in the waking state. But still, the consciousness is there. And it's in this very consciousness that expresses itself in the senses and in the mind. Not only that, when you closely examine your own experiences, you'll find that at times it expresses itself as just pure consciousness. For example, if you look at the interval between two states, like between two thoughts, or between two feelings, or between two perceptions, you'll have to admit that there is an interval between these two thoughts. Otherwise, one thought must just be continuing. One thought has to end for another thought to start. Now, there is no denying the fact that there is an interval, be it time. You could call it a moment. You could call it an infinitesimal part of a second. But still, there is that time between two thoughts. And the question is, where were you in that state between those two thoughts? Were you in the waking state? No. Were you in the dream state? No. Were you in the deep sleep state? No. So then where were you, or what were you? You were in your real nature. This is why you find that even in the waking state, you've had this every now and again where you go to your real nature and you come out of it. It's just that you don't take notice of it. It's never possible for you to have a life in this world unless you get to your real nature at every moment in this way. Try to put the emphasis there. And then again, when consciousness is found joined onto objects, try to put the emphasis there. Instead of putting emphasis upon the material objects alone. So instead of putting the emphasis on what you're thinking about, instead of putting the emphasis on what you're sensing or what you're feeling, put the emphasis on that space between those senses, perceptions, and thoughts. If you continue doing this practice in time, you'll find that you are unconsciously retreating your step back towards the center which you want to establish. And that is the real sense of being, the real I principle, which is consciousness and happiness. Now you seek happiness. Why? Because that desire comes from the deepest level, and that's from your real nature. But because your senses are having outward going tendencies, you seek that happiness in the outside world. You desire for objects, you obtain it, and you get the happiness that you seek. But you have never examined from where that happiness comes from. If we will allow our mind to examine it in the right way, I'm sure we'll find that happiness, which we suppose comes from objects, but actually doesn't. It comes from yourself. If happiness were intrinsic in these objects that we see and that we try to obtain, then these objects must always give us happiness from when we were a baby from to when we die. But that's not what we experience. What gives us happiness as a baby does not give us happiness when we grow into a child. And when you grow into a young man, something else gives you happiness. The object which gives us happiness in childhood and when we were young ceases to give us happiness when we grow old. So you find that happiness is not related in the objects itself. And the next thing is that happiness can't be in our mind alone. Because if it were in our mind, then it'd be possible for us to enjoy that happiness whenever we want. If it were in our mind, it must be possible for us to enjoy that happiness without the help of the external objects. But we don't get it that way. And therefore, happiness can't be in our mind neither. So if happiness is not intrinsic in the mind and it's not intrinsic in the sense objects, where does it come from? Even when our mind comes into contact with some object that gives us an incredible amount of happiness, where does that happiness actually come from? I say that when we desire an object, our mind is restless and continues to be restless unless we get that desired object. When we have that object that we desire for, the mind comes to rest for the time being and we get happiness. Well, that happiness, as I've already told you, is our real nature. And it shines always. But it's only taken note of when the mind comes to rest. This is why it is our real nature that shines when we get that object that we desire for. If you take that line of thinking just after the event, that is a great step to lead you back to your center. That brings me to the end of the first episode. I hope you enjoyed that. I did notice as I was reading that Sri Atmananda Krishna Menon refers to the reader as you. I did change that halfway through. I realized from you to we and us. I find that that is a lot more easier for me to at least speak and also understand. I'm also finding my rhythm through this, so I'm hopeful that for the next episode that rhythm would be there a bit sooner, and I'm also hoping that it'll get better. So let me know if you have any feedback, and if there's any specific books or articles you'd like me to read, just drop me a message on Anchor. I'll see you for the next episode.